All right, this is your boy Dave Woods coming at you for another episode of You Versus You. This is where we get our vision right, our goals right, and then we start carrying it out. This is to get you there and then keep you going. One of the things that just came up was the amount of effort used in a program. And for a lot of people just starting out, I swear by the 6-week program. So you already know that you want to lose 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 150 pounds. After you have that number written down and you can see it every single day, commit yourself to the fitness regimen for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, just reassess where you're at. Maybe have a week off to recover, to get that rest, to have that time of cheat days. Have those on that 7th week. But for those 6 weeks, give as much effort as you possibly can, and you'll be able to gauge from there. After that 6-week program, you could say, oh, I can actually push myself harder. Oh, actually, I got to scale back. That almost killed me. The whole thing you want to do for longevity is go at 60%. And I just came across this recently, and from my own experiences too, where it doesn't have to be a perfect militant way of doing everything 100% or 110%, just completely blasting yourself. No need to do that. If you're able to be consistent in 60% effort, whether you're dieting, whether you're working out, whether you're resting and recovering, whether you want to train for the specifics, go at 60% for the perfection. And after 6 weeks, you'll see huge, huge gains than if you had just done it willy-nilly or had gone full tilt 100% for 6 weeks. This is for the long haul, right? So you've adjusted your diet and what you're eating and what you're taking in, and you really want to have the cookies or the cake or whatever the thing is. If you say, oh, I will have one of those things once a week, that doesn't sabotage your entire diet, and you also can maintain your sanity by not always just salivating at the mouth every time someone walks by with a pizza, right? So you do that for the 6 weeks, you should be golden. When it comes to working out, the same thing. Know what the plan is. Have those exercises lined up. It's just like a recipe when you're making a delicious meal, right? You have the ingredients lined up. Stick with them, but you have to know what you're making first. So this is the thing that's changing from going from that sedentary lifestyle to a more active lifestyle and keeping it in range for what it looks like on a Monday. For 6 weeks, this is what Monday looks like. Or this is what it looks like Tuesday. Maybe there's an off day in there. The third day will be this. The fourth day will be this. The fifth day will be this. Keep that right. And if you miss 1 or 2 days, it'll be okay because we're going for that 60% effort. If you actually have skin in the game in terms of being a part of a weight loss competition, or you're doing something at work or at school where there's other people involved, I'd say start right there with 60%, but then see if you can push harder, especially if you put money on this, right? No one wants to come in last place and then be out of what they put down to get in. So in those moments, I'd push for 80 to 90%, and that being the exception of making it the more militant 100% going for perfection, because there's money on the line right there. When it's not that outlying situation, aim for 60%. If you do this, we'll say 2 or 3 times in a row, right? You have those 6 weeks on, 1 week off, then 6 weeks on, 1 week off, 6 weeks on, 1 week off, you'll be able to more accurately gauge where you're at for saying the amount of effort that you can be consistent with. In that moment, we'll say it's the 3rd or 4th time of doing the 6-week cycle of fitness and diet, rest and recovery, right? Really see what you can handle for either 80% or 90%. And this is without skin in the game, right? So if you are taking notes of what you've done, you've been monitoring your progress, and then accurately assessing how you feel after it, this should not be too much of a push to go from 60 to 80%, right? Treat it like a grade, right? 60%, you know, I don't know if they do this anymore. 60% would be a D, right? The 70% is a C, 80% being a B, 90% and above is A, right? If you, and this is just to reiterate, if you're going at 60% effort and are able to maintain that, that is the intro level beginning moments of making this entire paradigm shift, physical fitness shift. And then when you see how your body feels and reacts to it, you can really, it's not going to be much to go to 70%, to 80%, and then start cruising at 90% effort, right? So with all that being said, it's going to take a couple cycles to see, well, one, to move out of being inactive to being physically ready and then being energized by it. Like this is, it soon will look like a total overhaul of the way you used to do things. But that's the whole point, right? This is you versus you. It's the old version of yourself versus the new version of yourself. And you want to maintain that new perspective, that new ability, that new cardio vascular effort and the changes that you make in your musculature. So if you're here doing that and this is now your third week in or the third session of doing the 6-week program, you can push, you'd be actually surprised on what you can do. All right. If you are been going to the gym for a while, let's say you have a couple years experience, but you haven't been seeing any change, this is the time to fine-tune what you're doing without completely murdering yourself in the gym and then saying, you know what, I don't like the gym anymore, I don't like training, I don't like running anymore, I don't like swimming. Whatever you're doing right now in the gym, if this is you, see where you could make it, where you could feel that soreness, where you can see the scale either moving down because you lost fat or moving up because you put on muscle, right? In this moment, I highly recommend cultivating a culture of fitness in whatever area you're in, whether it be weight training, whether it be running, whether it be cycling, whether it just be walking, long distance walk. There's this one of the guys that I met recently who I want to get on the show, and I'll leave his name out until he's actually here. He made a 50-pound change just by walking 3 miles in the morning, and then he started doing it, I think, 5 miles on the weekends and was not timing it at all, right? So the moment that I just want to give a shout-out to is saying, going out of the normal routine of not being active to then pushing it to 3 miles, but at that pace, at whatever pace you can go, that's where I say my hat's off to you. Keep it up, because over time, lost 50 pounds, at least 50 pounds, right? What can you do now in that? I'm not going to use him as an example anymore, but if that's what, whatever your goals are, whatever you're working towards, you can find a way to tweak it to make it more challenging. And yes, that means more effort, more time being spent, and then saying no to a lot of other things, right? This is where the rubber hits the road. Every day it's someone's birthday, right? Every day someone wants to celebrate. Every day someone has some heartache, some heartbreak, and needs to be consoled, and they might go to whatever that comfort food is, whatever that thing is that's going to sabotage what you're working on. If you're keeping in mind 60% effort, there's wiggle room. So that's the whole thing, is to hold on to what it looks like for 6 weeks and then say, oh, don't even call it a cheat day. Just say, okay, I have some areas where I can be lax because I'm aiming for 60%. I know after on that seventh week, I'll be able to gauge because I've been monitoring the weight, monitoring the workouts, and then taking detailed notes. I mean, I guess you could say be as detailed as you want to be. I highly recommend having like a little voice recording after each workout and then reviewing what it feels like each week, having those notes. So then you can really see where you're at on that seventh week, so that you, when you start over, and that would technically, that would be week 8, but we call it week 1 for now, the new cycle, you can see what needs to change and where you can push yourself. This is definitely vital if you start to feel a little bit of an injury coming on, or a prolonged soreness, not the good soreness, not that delayed onset muscle soreness, but the pinch in the neck or on the shoulder, which happens when you're doing a lot of cardio, especially if it's that repetitive activity that hasn't been switched. So this happened to me from using the elliptical machine so much, was the side of my neck and shoulders started to ache. And it was from that motion of that elliptical motion, right? That cycling of the feet and the arms being moved with due to that exercise. So a simple fix is to bike or to walk or to swim or to find some high intensity exercise that's fun, like racquetball, playing tennis. There's a lot of shifting of the planes, right? You can go left, right, forward, back, up, down, and it's a very short distance. So you start playing racquetball or tennis for an hour, you're gonna feel some things that you weren't feeling even after doing a week of strict cardio on the elliptical machine. So that's the whole tip right there, is to change it up, but be consistent for the 6 weeks, then change it up, tweak, and move forward. The lesson right here, this is what I've been chewing on this past week, was the differences between eagles and wild parrots, right? Here in Pasadena, we have these wild parrots. They're green, and they're these rare exotic birds that I believe the history was they came to Huntington Gardens, and then they escaped and have had no real natural predators. And so they've just been really prolific and expanding. But every now and then you see like a flock of 30 green parrots squawking, just going across. And if you're just thinking about what a parrot is, it talks all the time, but doesn't really do anything. It's rolling deep with those other birds, but they're not really progressing. They're just talking and talking, squawking and squawking. You look at the eagle on the other hand, which is one of my favorite birds, not only because I'm from Philadelphia, you know, but the vision that an eagle has, it actually has two lenses. It has the lens that it sees when it's looking at things that are close by, and then when it's in flight, a lens comes over its eye, almost like a binocular, to give it very far vision from such an altitude, where it can just, when it locks onto its prey, it dives down and snatches it real fast, not looking at anything else, right? The eagle is the only bird that flies into the storm, right? Think of it like an airplane. When an airplane takes off and goes up, and then the force behind the airplane and the speed that it has, all it needs to do is adjust the wing, and it has that lift. It has that takeoff right there. Well, that's what it does as like a judo move to nature, right? It uses the force of the storm to go even higher. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this is how you gotta be, right? You can either be like an eagle that locks on to its goal, has the vision of where it's going and where it's seeing. It's not making any derivations to the left, to the right. It's locked on. No matter what the storms are that comes its way, it still knows where it's going. And all it has to do is make a little adjustment. It adjusts those wings, and it goes even higher, and is able to overcome that. Wild parrots, they just squawk all day. You gonna be a squawker? Don't be a squawker. Be an eagle. I'm gonna just assume that if you've made it this far in you versus you, you already have the heart and the goal written down. You have that level of drive to keep going and to stick to the 6-week program. But if not, I'll just let you know. It's worthwhile. You might not see results in the first couple months or the first year, the first couple years, but over time it'll happen. And if you do this 6-week program, which I swear by, rinse, wash, repeat, you do that for a year, you're guaranteed to see results, right? If you're going for something huge like 50 pounds, 75 pounds, 100 pounds, 150 pounds, it's going to take a while, but it's worth it. And then that momentum of seeing the change and then seeing, oh, it's actually not that bad, you can maintain this. This is what we're going for, the whole lifestyle for your entire life. I know after doing this for 4 years that it was worthwhile to lose 100 pounds this way and then to say, oh, I can actually maintain this until I'm in my 80s, until I'm in my 90s, right? So, yeah, do that. If you need some motivation, look up Royal Burpee. That's the inventor of the burpee. You know, everyone's favorite exercise that we talk about how awful it is. Yeah, well, this guy was in the Navy and invented that move, right? And he invented it in the 1930s. I feel like it was a kinesiology degree that he was getting and needed to come up with the ideal maximum output that you could do in calisthenics and then see a substantial change from in your physique. And that's the exercise he came up with, right? It's you jump down on the floor, the force of doing the push-up off the floor, so you forcibly push up, you jump to your feet, jump high in the air. Right? You can even make it even harder if you want to do a star jump, right? Instead of just the jump going up, landing, you kick your legs to the side, almost like doing a jumping jack, but then before you hit the ground, bring your feet back together. Yeah, Google search Royal Burpee. That's his real name. His first name is Royal. Yeah. So whatever you're envisioning right now, when you see his picture, you're going to say, yep, that makes sense. It was a very prophetic name right there that his parents would say, hey, we're going to call you King. We're going to call you Emperor. We're going to call it Royal. Royal it is. And then very fitting that he's put his last name in there as the title of the exercise. And mind you, this photo that comes up immediately where he's doing like the most muscular side pose, that was way before color was invented, right? So imagine that guy walking around in the 1930s and 40s. People say, hey, how did you get in shape? Oh, I invented an exercise. So yeah, keep that in mind next time your group fitness or your trainers or your friends say, hey, let's do some burpees. Yeah. Royal Burpees smiling down from heaven saying, two thumbs up. Some dangers. Here's some dangers to look out for. And this is the classic tale of Icarus and Daedalus. I'm sure you at least have a cursory knowledge of who Icarus is, you know. Him and his dad had the wings that they made to escape the labyrinth. It's actually a really fascinating story because Daedalus is the one who invented the labyrinth, right? The whole story of the Minotaur, this inescapable prison on the island of Greece where only the worst of the worst got sent. And it was typically the personal punishment from the king for this person, whoever was to go to the labyrinth, because they wouldn't be able to last in a normal prison, a normal jail, because they would probably escape. So this was, if you're familiar with the Count of Monte Cristo, this is like the Chateau d'If, right? Everyone who goes to this prison knows why they're there. They're there because they made some really powerful enemies. Well, anyway, tangent aside, Icarus is the son of Daedalus, right? He's the one who flew too high and it melted the wax feathers and then he fell into the sea and died because he couldn't swim. But the warning right there, the cautionary tale is not to go too low because the water will get you and weigh you down and then you'll die. or if you go too high, the sun will melt the wax, it'll fall apart, and you'll die. This is the Icarus represents the transition from boyhood to manhood, of that prudence it takes to not be full of pride and hubris, but then again, not to be so carefree and unobservant of your surroundings that you plummet just due to what the water is, right? So, this is that moment of assessment after 6 weeks. Don't fly too high, don't fly too low. Hit it with that 60% effort. Stick between 60 and 80, and you're good to go. If you are putting money on this, right, that whole term skin in the game, that's where you'd say 80 to 90, 80 to 100% effort. But just for 6 weeks, not, you know, I think, I don't know if there's going to be an episode that goes by where I don't mention my man, David Goggins. That's someone who's going at 100% all the time, right? But we're not all David Gogginses. You can try for it. I recommend reading the books, reading his books, YouTubing them, seeing some of his talks. I know he's always on tour as a public speaker, as a motivational speaker. But that is someone who is truly an outlier, right? In his own words, he'd say, everyone has the potential to do what I'm doing, do it even better than me, but not many people are willing to try. Where I come in, just as a counterbalance, is to say, you can stick between 60 and 80% every 6 weeks and then push yourself. And then over time, the things that he's doing won't seem like so mythical. It won't seem like he's just some unicorn freak of nature, right? No, that's just consistent effort, concerted effort, discipline, and unwavering focus on what that goal is, right? He set the world record, Guinness Book World Records, for push-ups and pull-ups, right? On two separate occasions, right? And no one said it'd be able to be done due to his physique, right? Everyone who's doing pull-ups was short, and the distance between the bar and their shoulder was even shorter. And he is a large in comparison to those people who've been making these records. And so it took a couple attempts of regulated attempts, right, where there's a referee counting each rep, checking in, making sure everything is status quo. And this is in 24 hours doing, I think it was, oh man, maybe I shouldn't quote myself without seeing the facts. I feel like it was like 4,000 pull-ups, 4,000 something something in 24 hours. And it got to the point where the skin on his grips, like on the bottom of his hands, were peeled off, right? So, yeah, this is not for everyone. I'm definitely not trying that. I'm a huge fan of doing pull-ups, but not to the point of my skin getting ripped off and I can say, hey, look at this trophy. It's the Guinness Book of World Records. No. It's more like, oh, to keep everything in proportion with chest and back, and it's a great exercise to do for just body rate resistance. All right, where to go from here? All right, one of the things that had made a difference in the last 8 weeks of training was taking my protein shake and electrolytes during the workout, right? There's a lot of people who either swear by pre-workout, post-workout supplements, whatever it would be, whether it's be energy drink, whatever form of caffeine beforehand, creatine, blah, 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 doing it before or after. I noticed an explosive growth of change from doing intra-workout supplements, right? So after my warm-up of 45 minutes of cardio, go to the locker room, have my protein shake and electrolytes all mixed together, ready to go, and I drink about a third to half right in the middle of working out, right? And then finish it the second I'm done with the workout. And the beauty in that is that you are getting fuel for your cells to really do what they do best of breaking down the things that don't need to be there, the lactic acid, keeping that from accumulating, and then feeding and giving your body nutrition during, that's not going to weigh you down like a meal. So if you want to get really, really precise, it's 2 scoops of a protein, which is about between 50 and 60 grams of protein, right? Considered a double portion if you've got the powder. And then I'll either have the liquid IV, the electrolytes, or the Pedialyte Advanced Care supplement. I'll throw it in there. Throw in a ton of water, right? Because you got to have this delivery system be in there. And then anything that's dairy or even like a non-dairy substitute that's not water might make you feel a little bit nauseous. So I just swear by water right there. And then to offset, not just the taste, because it tastes like a Flintstone vitamin. I don't know. Parents still do that. Right? There's a lot of other multivitamins that are good for kids. But back in the day, I remember having those Flintstone vitamins and thinking it tasted like chalk. Some nasty... this was a sinister doctor would give this to someone they don't like, right? That's the only way I could describe how nasty these Flintstone vitamins were. It kind of tastes like that until you put the honey in it, right? So 3 squirts of honey, it's like 3 portions, 3 servings of honey. And that's the one that really delivers it to your cells and gives you that boost of carbs to protein to hydration, right? So shake it all up, you're good to go. If you've never tried it, I'd say experiment. You know, you got the 6 weeks. Very, very little small tweak to your supplements, the protein supplement, and how you get hydrated. But it's making a huge change in terms of the quality of workout. I noticed, especially on leg day, that I'd feel like I blew something, right? Like I blew a gasket. And all of a sudden, I mean, I know I wouldn't be able to walk right and kind of look like you're wobbling around, but there'd be a level of hunger and tiredness that would be almost immediate when it's leg day. Right? And that's not helpful for doing all the cardio when it comes to all the cardio that I'm doing too, until I started doing this intra-supplemental hydration within the workout. So see how you feel. Let me know how it goes. I'm all about that life. That might be have to be another episode just talking about supplements, because if you're brand new to hearing about supplements, this would be overwhelming. The whole mentality behind it being you're not going to be able to really take in the amount of protein that is needed for growth and maintaining the muscles naturally. So if you were to, like, the example that I always use is Michael Phelps, right? I think he was something like 12,000, between 12,000, 20,000 calories a day when he was training for the Olympics, which is this ungodly amount of food to be eating, right? It feel like you're having Thanksgiving at every meal and you're having 5 or 6 meals a day. That's what it would be equivalent for the average person trying to take in 12,000 to 20,000 calories a day, right? So the good people, whoever, the supplemental manufacturers said, hey, let's grab onto this craze of people wanting to get in shape and make a concentrated form of protein. It's great in theory. It's hard in practice to carry out because there's often bad stuff in the protein. Like there's fillers, there's things that are not conducive to growth, there's more sugar than there needs to be in some of these things. So I'd keep it very simple and say from basics, 101 is about 0.5 gram to 1 gram of protein for every pound that you weigh, right? So if I'm weighing in at 240 pounds, 240 grams of protein is going to be a ton of meat, right? A ton. There's plant-based options, but it messes with my stomach to take in that many. So that's something that I learned on a 6-week, pure veggie protein powder, right? I'm sticking with that whey. And a little tangent, the whole non-GMO concentrated conversation, this is something where all the people who say, hey, you have to eat organic, but they're taking a supplement like this, would not know what they're talking about, right? Because whey is a specific isolate of the protein, right? So it's a dairy protein, and it's condensed to be like jet fuel quality of a protein, right? And it's very, very much synthetic, right? So gotta weigh the pros and cons of either eating whatever you want, dirty bulk, eating clean, only saying organic, right? Because ashwagandha is also another one of those things, right? Half of these vitamins, well, I'd say all of these vitamins in some form or fashion have been distilled to be very concentrated. So pick and choose, right? All right, going back. So already it's half a gram to 1 gram for every pound that you weigh. And then where do you get this from to reach that by the end of the day? One of the great ways that has made a difference in my life is to take in about 50 to 65 grams in that shake during a workout, right? Make sure it's got the honey, make sure it's got the electrolytes, and you are good to go. You won't feel dead after you leave the gym, you know? Some people look really flushed in the face. I'm sure you've seen this, right? You're like, oh, this is what happens after you work out. Well, no. It's your body screaming, right? That's your body saying, hey, that's too much, right? So if you've been hydrated, that won't happen. You'll just be sweaty and stinky, right? Let me know, whether it be in a comment, a share, a like, on how the intra supplemental regimen goes with the 6-week workout, because this is the game changer in my world. All right, can we switch to see that other another page? Thanks, Evan. It's my guy right there. All right, so one of the things that I realized I failed to mention was the Furious Five, right? This is the Saints that I asked their intercession before I work out, right? The first, right, is Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was a handsome young man from Italy who died of polio, because back in the day, right, the 1930s, and he was known as, he was the son of, like, the equivalent of, the Citizen Kane, like the newspaper tycoon, right? So he was wealthy, affluent, mega Catholic guy, and died, unfortunately, from all the altruism and outreach to the poor and needy by contracting polio and then dying a very painful death from the disease, right? Well, he was an avid skier, avid hiker, and what's really dope is he has a holy card where he's wheeling a keg of beer down to the soccer field, and it's top notch right there. So ask his intercession, the five-person litany, like, Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, pray for me. Next, St. Anthony of Padua. Most people who know of him only ask him to pray for his prayer when they lose their keys or lose something, because he's known for finding lost stuff. I say, hey, help me find that motivation, right? Help me to find that drive to dig deep. So he's good to have in there. St. Anthony of Padua, pray for us. Next is St. Moses the Black. That's my guy who was responsible for my conversion. And this would be a really good story, because he was actually a pirate, right, in Egypt, which was very lucrative 2,000 years ago. Right? You just do these raids on the River Nile and steal people's stuff, and then no one's really going to stop you if it's you and a couple friends in a boat, and then he rolls deep with 75 of his buddies who were professional thieves, right? Well, he had his conversion. I asked for his prayer. I was converted. That's why I have him in there. Next is Padre Pio, right? It's good to just have a priestly friend who's in heaven, right? Ask his intercession. I haven't seen the movie yet with Shia LaBeouf, but it's on the to-do list. We'll see how accurate it is. And if not, it's good that it just got the word out. The next would be St. Joseph, the husband of Mary, the legal father of Jesus, the savior of our savior. That's what we say in that litany, right? Ask him to pray, because that is the lesser known person of scripture who's mentioned, but you don't hear what he said. But like Mother Angelica said, old men don't walk to Egypt. So this would have been a huge moment to just reassess what we know about St. Joseph being depicted as an old man, right? Because all honesty, in all likeliness, I should say, he's probably only a couple years older than Mary. And then also from walking from Bethlehem to Egypt, Bethlehem to Jerusalem a couple times a year, right? You're not going to be able to do that as an old person. So I envision a middle-aged to older looking dad when he died, but then he would have been looking like a construction worker in his prime, right? So put those two together, it's like unlikely that he probably even had gray hair, but that's not the point. I digress. Those are the ones that I ask for their prayer before I go to the gym, just to avoid injury and to get after it and keep growing, right? So the Sinister Six, right, for all my comic book heads out there, is very similar, but I would add my patron saint, St. David of Wales, or my guardian angel, right? So you imagine you go to the gym, you forget your headphones, right? Oh no, what am I gonna do? Still go to the gym. This is the winnowing chaff, winnowing the chaff away from what's the wheat, what's the good stuff. It separates those who are lighthearted, faint-hearted, to those who've set their face like flint to really get their goals, to hit those goals, to make those PRs, right? Well, you forget your headphones. Your mind's not right. Well, ask your saints, that's right there, Furious Five, the Sinister Six, to pray for you, and then keep going, right? Setbacks happen. A small setback like this should not throw off the trajectory of what your vision is, right? That's something that would happen to a parrot. Let's not be a parrot. All right. The good point in this, hey, Evan, scroll to the top for me. Thank you. Much appreciated. This is the moment that has been long awaited, long anticipated, and here they are. These are the shout outs for today's episode. All right, the first and foremost right here is my day one, Trey Williams, my guy. Congrats on the wedding proposal, man. I'm looking forward to getting suited and booted with you. Thank you for being my number one fan, and I doubt there's anyone else who's going to take that number one spot because you've been there since day one. Next is to the infamous Bill Bodle, Bill Boodle, Billy Boods, Billy the Kid, Mr. My Enemies Call Me William, editor extraordinary. Big shout out, man. Let me know about movie night. Next is Sylvia Akayan. Is it Akayan? Akayan? I've never said your last name before. Please forgive me. Double shout out for liking, subscribing, sharing, and then blasting your family text messaging thread. I hope they hear this and then know that this was this is her idea. I just simply said, if you could share, like, rate it, this would be good for the algorithm and really help me get up there with subscribers, with sponsorship. But then her telling me, oh, yeah, I told everyone. I'm like, oh, wow, you know. And Filipinos have a ton of family, right? This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing, right? So this is serious to say, oh, I wonder what that thread looked like. Was it like 20 people? I'll have to ask. Anyway, my guy, Guy Gazette, to the only person, only friend that I have who let me call him Gazette, just pronounce Gazette, for 7 years, first 7 years of our friendship, he allowed me to say that. And he said it was because it was endearing to have an American slaughter his last name, which is very common because it looks like it's Gazette, it's Gazette. It's my guy right there. To the incomparable Scarlett Rivera, you make the violin weep, and I'm not fiddling around when I say that. Thank you. We'll get you in here to lay down some of those strings and maybe have it as a soundtrack one day. You have to talk to the good people at Music Mind Studios. The next is Henry Nunez of Laser Wolf Productions. I love it, man. Keep working on those films keep producing as you've been doing. Stay focused, laser focused. That's my guy. Tawan, Alec, Evan, Reggie, Karina, Music Mind Studios here in Pasadena, making it all possible with an incredibly soundproof studio. This is like nothing I've experienced before, and I highly recommend them. I can't talk about them enough, but we gotta keep moving. Okay, my ladies, baby girl, you're the raison d'etre for doing this. Marianne, the Filipina queen, the lady. And then, of course, last but not least, to the queen of all queens, Our Lady of Sorrows, the Immaculata. Nothing else to say but Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. King Jesus, there's no one like you. You are the one. You are the good doctor, the heavenly physician, my healer. Thanks for everything. Looking forward to Sunday, Easter Sunday. Saint Joseph, the husband of Mary, the legal father of King Jesus, you are the savior of the savior. Pray for us. All right, let's move back. Slight recap. If you were scrolling through, we were going through the timing of supplements. Do you want to do it pre-workout, post-workout, intra-workout? I'm a huge fan of intra-workouts, and this is something definitely to look up, and the science behind it is all there. It's all backed for the efficiency factor. I know a lot of people probably don't want to be in the gym or training for 2 hours. If you are in need of doing some major work, that's what it's going to take, right? The key takeaway of that is go at 60%. If you have it all lined up of what's available to do, what can you physically do with life's demands, how often are you going to be able to go train to hit your goal? If you have that lined up for 6 weeks, if you hit at least 60%, you will be running laps around what you would have been if you had not. If you have not put in the effort for 6 weeks. Talked about the eagles versus the wild parrots, as in what they represent, what lessons we can learn from them in nature. Not just the football team, which that's my team right there. 2018 was the best year of my life with that Super Bowl win over the Patriots. Evan, please don't hold it against me. It's the sound engineer. All right, the Wild Parrots, a delicious brewery here in Pasadena. But that's not what we're going for. I was just saying, what's the difference between eagles and wild parrots, right? My man Emil, I'll see you at Wild Parrot. All right, Icarus versus Daedalus, the cautionary tale between being overly confident and then having the prudence to see what is wise and what is what's the right level of travel for hitting your goal. Icarus, unfortunately, died, and this is also just a myth, so he didn't really die. It doesn't exist. But the whole point of it being his death symbolized not being able to transition from boyhood to manhood, and it costed him everything. Daedalus, his dad, the inventor of the labyrinth, was the reason why they're both in prison anyway, but that's besides the point. Daedalus was the one who invented those wings to fly and escape from the labyrinth that he had unfortunately found himself in, and it costed him his son's life. All right, where do you want to be? Do you want to be an eagle? Do you want to be a wild parrot? Do you want to be like Icarus? Or do you want to be like Daedalus? I think that last question kind of answered itself. I think we all want to be like Daedalus, a great inventor, but not dead, right? All right, so that is coming to a close. Let me just see if there's any final thoughts to go with. Yes, actually there are a couple thoughts. One, gauge where you're at right now for going after whatever your goal is, and then say, commit for 6 weeks. A couple days off, a week off, and then go in again rinse, wash, repeat. And if you have not seen any change after going through 3 cycles of a 6-week program, that's when you can either give up or tweak and travel harder. My hope is that you travel harder and just wise up from where those pitfalls are and navigate it till you hit your goal. I'm here as a living testimony of sticking with it with a couple years and then turning into a lifestyle. And now we have this podcast to explain how I lost 100 pounds. If you are intermediate, then it would be small tweaks in between time. Stick to it for 6 weeks. Recover. Do it again. Rinse, wash, repeat. If you are pro level, we're talking you're ready where you want to be and you're just trying to maintain, I'd say now go legendary status. David Goggins did it. Look at him now, right? If you are going for IFBB Pro, if you're an athlete who's getting paid to play sports, you always know you can do better, right? So with that being said, it would be tweak where you're at for that level of athleticism, whatever sport it is, and then say what needs to be adjusted. Tiger Woods adjusted his swing. Look at him now, right? Still a contender. Serena Williams was shooting a little low, saying she wanted to go 18 championships. She said, how about we go for 40? All of a sudden, she's still tearing things up, right? So what can you do? We don't have to look at the other people. We don't have to look at what life was like in high school, life was like in college. Wherever you're at in life, even if you are 65 plus, there's a level of training that you can push yourself. And then after 6 weeks, see how you feel. Go in even harder, right? Now that about wraps it up. Thank you all for giving it a listen, giving it a like, giving it a share, giving it a comment. Keep going. Keep working out. Till next time.